Hello, this is Sharon. Welcome to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, July 29th, 2026. We begin our reading on the front page with The Bright Side, Tradition, Change, Meet at the Fair, McLean County Fair back with upgrades and more to do. The McLean County Fair opening this week will mark 30 years at its current site, and fairgoers will see upgrades and an improved layout across the fairgrounds, organizers said. There's a lot of physical things that people are going to notice that have improved over the grounds, said Katie Rader, fair manager. And that's what we're trying to do, is improve the grounds, update some things. The McLean County Farm Bureau announced a $1 million investment into the fairgrounds earlier this year that organizers said will be used over the next 3 years for vital improvements, maintenance, and other fairground updates. Rader said they were already able to achieve some of those changes ahead of this year's fair, set for July 29th through August 2nd, at the McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington. Fans were added to all of the livestock barns. Asphalt millings were spread on the grounds to cut the dust, and some concrete work was done, she said. Rader said visitors also will notice the food vendors will be more spread out instead of being concentrated on the main road, especially with the addition of 7 new food vendors as well as returning ones. That's going to be great for people to come out and see how we're doing that and how we're spending that money to really improve things, she said. This is Rader's first year as fair manager. She started in November when planning was already underway, but she has volunteered and served as superintendent for the last 20 years. She grew up in McLean County and showed at the fair when it took place at the former fairgrounds on East Empire Street, now occupied by Lowe's and neighboring businesses. Everything from securing entertainment, tractor pull, and demo derby companies to renting golf carts and contacting vendors began in the new year. All of the vendor spots were filled by May. The biggest thing is we're embracing the Route 66 and the America 250 celebrations, Rader said. We have local women coming in every night to sing the national anthem before each one of our grandstand events. And then on the Route 66 theme, we're doing some cool things with signage and different things on the grounds. We're going to have some antique car displays as well. The Farm Fun Zone Ag Exhibit also will be moved into the Mini Expo building and will be twice the size it was in past years. The fair inherited some items from the old Ag Exhibit at the Children's Discovery Museum in Uptown Normal. We've really been able to build that out and expand it and make that a really fun, unique space, Rader said. That's going to fill that entire building with the Route 66 theme, so we're embracing that through agriculture this year with our fair. The fair has a full lineup of family-friendly entertainment for the week, too. The petting zoo will return along with antique tractors, face painting, and other free kid activities. There will be a butterfly exhibit this year, kids' bucks games, traveling magicians, and a traveling bubbler who will walk around the grounds with bubbles. A beer tent will be open each day featuring the bull live stream. And of course, the carnival will be open each day from 1 to 11 p.m. Wednesday through Friday, noon to 11 p.m. Saturday, and noon to 8 p.m. on Sunday. I hope that the fairgoers see that we're really trying to make improvements and took the community's survey feedback and we're starting to work toward that, she said, just seeing that we're really striving for that. The event is the largest 4-H county fair in the state, and organizers promise to continue that tradition, including embracing partnerships with local businesses and organizations and making it a fun family event, Rader said. This year's 4-H fair will feature 624 kids and teens, with a total of 4,251 entries, ranging from livestock to general project exhibits such as agronomy, robotics, veterinary science, photography, sewing, and food. This will be the third 4-H fair for McLean County 4-H youth development educator Myla Munro. Planning the 4-H show is a nearly year-round effort, and leading up to the fair, program coordinators meet monthly with more than 100 volunteers who help out. Munro said there are at least two McLean County 4-H clubs that have existed for more than a century. For me, it's the nostalgia of being at the fairgrounds and at the 4-H show. I am an alumnus of Illinois 4-H, and as a kid, you know, that was our vacation, Munro said. So just the week of the 4-H show and the McLean County Fair, I imagine it unlocks a lot of memories for folks. McLean County is very passionate about their 4-H program and have multi-generation families and volunteers who've been around for many years, Munro added. Saturday is 4-H STEAM Day, and this year fair organizers have added a hands-on Lego contest. Kids will have the opportunity to show off their creativity, problem-solving skills, and imagination. The contest will take place from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Cloverleaf Hall Auditorium. There will be three age divisions, 5 to 8, 9 to 12, and 13 to 17. The first place winners in each division will advance to the Illinois State Fair. Callie Yoder, volunteer director of foods and nutrition for the 4-H Fair, said this is her favorite week of the entire year. Her fair roots run deep. She started before the age of 5 and served all the way until she was 18, including being the fair queen from 2019 to 2020. When she aged out, she became a volunteer. Yoder is part of the 4-H show committee that is responsible for making the show possible and a positive experience for the youth involved. She said she loves the tradition of the fair and seeing old and new friends who encourage each other. I just love seeing the members work and just their hard work and dedication and progress, because in my director position, I get to watch them grow, she said. Most of my kids come back year, and it's just awesome to see them grow and improve and move on in life. And some of mine now have jobs, and they're using their skills off in the real world as an adult, which is super cool, she added. She said, whether you want to be out in the heat or in the air conditioning at the fair, there will be something for every age going on at all times. And here is what you can do. Today, Wednesday, July 29th, from 4 to 11, the beer tent is open. 4:30 p.m., Pedal Pulls registration opens on the road between the antique tractors and the food court. At 5 p.m., the grandstand opens. 6 p.m., Tobin's Pizza Big Smokers tractor pulls and local truck pulls at the grandstand. Other highlights, McLean County Farm Bureau's Golden Clover Award presentation, fair royalty recognition, general 4-H project judging, horse, llama, rabbit, and meat goat shows, master shepherd interviews, sheep shearing and trimming competition. Thursday, July 30th, Young at Heart and Military Veterans Day. Admission is free for seniors, veterans, and active military. For Pack the Bus, those who bring a qualifying donation can receive discounted admission for $2. Events are 4 to 11 beer tent opens, 5 p.m. grandstand opens, 6:30 p.m. bull riding, barrel racing, and mutton busting, 9 to 11 p.m. the bull live stream from the beer tent. Other highlights are senior activities and entertainment in Cloverleaf Hall Auditorium, horse, swine, beef cattle, and sheep shows, poultry judging, Cloverbud Show and Tell, Cloverbud Relay, 4-H Relay, Goat Peewee Showmanship, Beef, Dairy, Sheep, and Goat Costume Show, and a Sheep Lead Line Contest. Friday, July 31st is Merchants Day. Coupons are available at fair sponsors and give children ages 6 to 12 free admission until 5 p.m. Friday's events are 4 to 11 p.m. beer tent open, 5 p.m. grandstand opens, 6:30 p.m. Taylor Brunnings and the Bandits, 8 p.m. Feudin' Hillbillies, 9 to 11 p.m. the bull stream from the beer tent, and other highlights are horse, dairy goat, and cat shows, horse show costume contest, showmanship classic, horse speed games, and the My Ag main event. Saturday, August 1st, from 4 to 11, the beer tent is open. At 5 p.m., the grandstand opens. At 6 p.m., the Don Owen Demolition Derby. Other highlights are horse, dairy, goat, and cat shows, horse show costume contest, showmanship classic, horse speed games, and the My Ag main event. On Sunday, August 2nd, highlights are the PLC shows, State Fair Q&A session, and a flag-lowering ceremony. There are no grandstand activities. If you go, again, this will take place at the McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington. The gates are open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday, noon to 7 p.m. on Sunday. The 4-H activities begin today at 7 a.m. and at 8 a.m. Thursday through Sunday. The carnival is open from 1 to 11 p.m. Wednesday through Friday, noon to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and noon to 8 p.m. on Sunday. You can contact them by calling 309-663-6497 or email them at info@mcleancountyfair.org. Online, you can visit mcleancountyfair.org.facebook.com/mcleancountyfair. City okays $80,000 for Habitat houses. Nonprofit passed among budgeted housing plans. A resolution that expands the City of Bloomington's partnership with Habitat for Humanity of McLean County by contributing $80,000 to build two new affordable housing units was approved by the City Council on Monday. For years, the city has allocated community development block grant funding, which is received from the federal government through the state, for the installation of new water and sewer services for new housing units constructed by the nonprofit. The Memorandum of Understanding approved by Council formalizes this partnership and provides a foundation for growth. The Rebloom the Block program, which was one of many economic development initiatives included in Bloomington's fiscal 2027 budget, provides funding for the development of new affordable housing units or rehabilitation of vacant units. The city will use $80,000 of the $100,000 budgeted for the program to cover a portion of the construction of two affordable housing units on Trailside Court. Habitat for Humanity is also in the process of building another pair of units on that street through private donations. If additional funding is available through the city budget, federal grants, or other sources, the city may also provide water and sewer service installation to support the creation of a new affordable housing unit, according to the memorandum. Cordero Patrick, director of the city's Community Impact and Enhancement Department, said the city is seeking additional partners to make the most of the remaining $20,000 in the Rebloom the Block program. These particular funds are not slated to be used to do rehab of existing homes, Patrick said. Certainly, we have other grants and funds to do that as well, but we're trying to figure out, do we continue to add additional units to the housing market as well? In response to a concern from Alderwoman Sheila Montney about the best use of the program's funding, Patrick said from a staff perspective, it would be very difficult to add a new unit to the local housing market for less than $40,000. He added that approving the resolution also will expedite Habitat for Humanity's plans to provide additional housing in this area. This is not the solution when it comes to adding more affordable units here in Bloomington, but we certainly believe it's the piece of the puzzle, Patrick said. Additional neighborhood revitalization initiatives include the Small Home Improvement Plan, which received a $130,000 budget from the city for essential repairs to owner-occupied homes in low to moderate income census tracts, and the Beautify Your Block program, which was allocated $20,000 by the city for neighborhood beautification projects like landscaping or curbside appeal. Today's Flick Fact question. It's been hot this month in central Illinois, above average, hot, and muggy. But 90 years ago, it was so hot that one day when it was finally only 92, the residents celebrated, especially since there was no air conditioning in homes. True? That is true. In July 1936, incredibly, it was 100 degrees for more than 12 straight days. In fact, Bloomington Normal's all-time high temperature occurred on July 15, 1936, when it reached 114, followed the next day by only 92. And that was decades before there was talk of climate change. From the past pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, on July 29, 1926. What is the total value of the property in McLean County? County Treasurer Clifford Baldwin was able to answer offhand, however, yesterday. Simple enough, says he, a mere item of $207,828,717. 75 years ago, on July 29, 1951, Bloomington's veteran women air race flyer, Miss Helen Granke, is preparing for her flight in the all-women's transcontinental air race from Santa Ana, California to Detroit, Michigan, starting on August 15th. This will be her sixth air race and second transcontinental race. 50 years ago, on July 29, 1976, Bloomington's public schools face a deficit of $2.8 million next year in its education fund. That was the major thrust of a $10.6 million budget proposal that was presented July 28th. The 1976-77 budget is scheduled for tentative adoption on August 4th, and it will be on display for 30 days. 25 years ago today, July 29th, 2001, the Scottish Rite Temple won't look any different than it does today, but a profound change will have occurred. As of July 31st, the office overseeing multiple Masonic groups will no longer own the structure it built at East and Mulberry Streets in downtown Bloomington in 1920. As of July 31st, the city of Bloomington will own the Scottish Rite Temple, a structure donated with conditions. The result is that the cultural district that downtown leaders are organizing has its base. The Masonic groups, meanwhile, have freed themselves from financial liabilities that loomed in the building's future. They no longer need fear that their building will close or fall into disrepair. The public will have a performing arts center downtown. The American Passion Play will live on. The Masons are etched in history for their civic-minded generosity. Road closure, West Virginia Avenue in Normal. Beginning at 7 a.m. today, West Virginia Avenue will be closed from South Fell Avenue to Broadway for pavement repairs. The road closure is expected to be completed by 9 a.m., weather permitting. Springfield man accused of tossing firearms after Interstate 55 crashed near Towanda. A Springfield man is accused of tossing illegal firearms, ammunition, and almost $4,000 from his vehicle after he was involved in a two-truck crash on Interstate 55 near Towanda. Norman A. Simpson, 46, appeared before Judge Amy McFarland for his initial appearance on Monday afternoon, during which the judge ruled he be detained in jail. Simpson is charged with two counts of unlawful possession of a machine gun by a felon, six counts of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, and three, an unlawful use of a weapon. The charges stemmed from a Sunday morning crash, according to the probable cause statement presented by Assistant State's Attorney Kevin White. Illinois State Police responded about 7:37 a.m. to a crash on Southside Interstate 55 near mile marker 171 involving a semi-truck and a pickup truck. The semi was left disabled in the right lane and the pickup was in the median. The semi driver told police the pickup crossed the median and struck his truck. After the crash, the semi driver saw the other driver, identified as Simpson, had a number of firearms that he concealed on the other side of the interstate. The semi driver took a video of Simpson discarding the firearms and shared it with police. Police then searched the area and found a bag containing five firearms, multiple rounds of ammunition and magazines, and $3,861 in bundles. The bag contained a 9mm handgun reported stolen from Indiana, another 9mm handgun with non-matching serial numbers on it, and a modification that converted the firearm to be fully automatic, a .22 LR handgun, and three .223 caliber rifles, one of which had no serial number or other markings. Also in the bag were two boxes for Glock handguns with serial numbers on the boxes that did not match any of the firearms located. The prosecutor said Simpson was not legally allowed to possess firearms, noting he's been previously convicted of numerous felonies. White said no conditions would prevent Simpson from possessing a gun because he already had guns despite his previous legal prohibition. Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace disagreed, noting the defendant denies these allegations and would abide court orders. Judge McFarland sided with the prosecution and ordered that Simpson be detained. Simpson is scheduled for his next court date at 9 a.m., August 21st. Bloomington's five-day forecast. It will be sunny and pleasant today with lower humidity. Wildfire smoke will cause the sky to be hazy. You can expect a full day of sunshine with average relative humidity of 60% and a high temperature of 84 degrees. It will be clear tonight, average relative humidity 80% and a low temperature of 61 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, there will be clouds and sun, temperatures between 85 and 66 degrees. Friday, it will be not as warm, and there are chances of afternoon and evening thunderstorms. Temperatures will be between 77 and 66 degrees. On Saturday, there are chances of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Temperatures between 77 and 65 degrees. Sunday, mostly cloudy, again, possible showers, temperatures between 79 and 64 degrees. As far as pollen counts, grass, trees, weeds, and mold are all low today. The Pantograph does have a commitment to accuracy and reminds you that they want you to let them know about any issues regarding accuracy or fairness. You can contact them by calling 309-820-3240 or send an email to ojacobs@pantograph.com. If you're interested in past corrections, visit pantograph.com/corrections. You can get full benefits if you subscribe to the Pantograph. You can activate your digital account and get updated stories, videos, and hundreds of puzzles and comics by visiting pantograph.com/activate and downloading the app for the e-edition and breaking news. We will take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, July 29th, 2026. Please stay tuned.